My. I've been looking forward to this. And as I said, the Lord gave me the download. And he said, this is what I want you to do. And so I'm trying to obey, but I love it. This is exactly. I want to introduce quickly just a short little introduction of who these precious ladies are in this city and what they do. And then also when they get a chance, I'll let them give their journey, share their story, their journey. And let's see, we'll do the panel, which means I'll ask some questions. Others may want to form a question or two. And if you do, I think that would be appropriate. If we have time, and I think we're going to try to take time. I think, first of all, I'm going to put up a slide for what you're best known for right now, which would be Kings Hill House of Prayer. But my friend here, I've never seen a woman so energetic on 5 hours of sleep a night or less. Isn't that right? She's one of the most passionate, visionary, networking, honoring forerunners, real estate leader, one of the founders of Kings Hill House of Prayer, Barbara Ann Jeter. They're good to have you here. Woohoo! And I'll tell you what, you can rest assured, none of you will escape this lady. She'll be inviting you to be a part of this area of prayer from Kings Hill, one of the best views in the city from the north. No question. And next, we have Diane Jambash. Is that right? I'm trying to get these names right. Plaza Maharaji. This is the cultural city. And you know, it's just wonderful that she and her husband have put together this cultural center. It's everything I could have hoped for. I walk in there, there's restaurants, there's shops, and lots of room for fun activities. And I've been over there a number of times where they would have things like stage shows and concerts and even a Philharmonic one time, a Philharmonic orchestra. And then, because this is just a front, by the way, behind the scenes, they're kingdom builders. And it was behind the scenes that I was over there for a Shabbat meal, a citywide Shabbat with Don Fento. Revival is happening over there, and they use the facility for advancing the kingdom of God. So if you haven't been there yet, you are in for a treat. I promise you that. Last but not least, Amy Weber. Amy is a part of this fellowship, but she's been a business lady for a long time. Amy Releve, which means arise. And I want to use this card right here because I think it best describes your foundation, Releve 1. Our foundation exists to receive the abundant life Jesus offers and so equip women to move towards that life through healing and freedom in spirit and soul and body. And this next slide will actually let you see the next one real quick. One more slide. And that's in action, Miss Amy and her group, because her real passion is worship. And so that's upstairs, isn't it?
That's actually down here.
Down here. I know, but upstairs they have a full-on studio. So it's not just about training people to dance, but it's getting in shape, mentally, physically, spiritually. I tell you what, I just love what God's doing through her, through you, and through you, Barbara Ann. So that's a little bit of an introduction, and Barbara Ann, I'm going to let you go first and tell us a little bit about your journey. And you don't have to go back to childhood, unless you want to. But in particular, I know for a fact that you have been in real estate for quite a while as a mover and shaker, many awards, but she's put that on the back burner for a while because her passion is Kings Hill House of Prayer. So please say hi to us and tell us a little bit about your journey.
Okay. But first, I want to honor Jerry Bryant. I am so grateful that God preserved your life. We need you, and your work isn't done.
Thank you.
thank you for not only digging wells here for revival, but continuing to draw from them. And that also goes to Mark. You guys are partners in the kingdom. And you also know how to honor women, champion women, not only in business but in ministry. That's a little hard to do.
It's the only way to break the back of misogyny.
Yes.
Did I say that? I did. I mean it.
So thank you. And it's been an honor to have your trusted wisdom at Kings Hill House of Prayer. You've helped us in critical times when we've needed that.
So thank you
for not giving up on us.
Not at all.
Yeah. And then I want to honor Mark Lancaster. I'm going to give him a standing ovation myself. And if you're here with me, would you stand with me? This man deserves it. Yeah. I've gotten to walk closely with Mark over the last 3 years. As he's president of Kings Hill House of Prayer, and he's also now leading the charge for the churches with Pray Nashville. But I've learned that this man walks his talk, that he really does believe in unity, and not a false unity, but a true John 17 unity. And the other thing that I'm learning from him is he is a family man. He has been like my brother. And he's not given up on me. So I'm learning from him to be more intentional.
I love this. She does honor everybody else. Let's hear about your
journey. Okay. Well, I love Mark. I think that I want to give honor where honor's due. But real quick, before the city of Nashville, I've been a president of a home building company, a mortgage company, a furniture company, and when we came here in 2007, we landed on the ground 7707. And I said, honey, I've heard about this event. We got to go to it called The Call. And he was like, what? We don't have time for that. We're looking for a house. I said, we can fit in a few hours. So we went in, and I got marked that day to begin praying that Nashville would have a 24/7 house of prayer. And my next-door neighbor, who was my prayer partner, would say, why do we have to keep praying for this? Why can't we just all pray in our own houses? So, interesting. When I moved here, I had a season of hiddenness for about 7 years. I was homeschooled my kids. And as Krista was talking about, one of the big lessons I've learned in business and in life is you can't outgive God. Not in your money, not in your time. Not in your treasure, in your dreams. Be willing to give your dreams to God. Let them die. You know, and because God's dreams really are way better. Things that we couldn't even ask or imagine. You know, and be careful what you pray for. Because not only maybe God would give it to you, but you might end up being a part of the answer to your prayer. You know, but back to that, so I died to business, all of that. I homeschooled my kids. And one thing, just a little thing for any homeschooling moms here, everybody said, you're crazy. Why are you homeschooling your kids? You're going to ruin their education. And I was so grateful because I kept praying, Lord, show up, show off. Make my children get scholarships to college and even be National Merit Scholars. Well, both of my kids got scholarships to college. And my son was a National Merit Scholar, and he was the only homeschooler in the country to make U.S. Presidential Scholar. I never even heard of it. So God gave me more than I had asked for or imagined. And on top of that, I got most influential teacher by the Obama administration. They're a White House Commission on Education. But anyway, I digress. So after the 7 years of hiddenness and praying and like being on my face and driving my husband crazy and like going after God, he was like, honey, you need to go back to work. I want you to be a realtor. And I cried. I said, I don't want to be a realtor. That's just below me. I don't want to do it. And he said, I think you would like it. I think God will bless you in it. And so out of submission, I believe in submission. Some people say it's a dirty word, but I submit to his leadership. Honey, will you stand? I need to honor you.
Hey, that's his hand up there.
Yes. The only reason I would be a success is because of this man. He's been Jesus to me. He's discipled me. He's been gracious to me, and he's loved me. And he's taught me what it looks like to love well, and I'm still trying. But I tell people if I was half the woman he is a man, I'd be a good woman. So he's amazing. I love him. You should stand up. I love you. But anyway, he said, do it, honey. I think God will bless you in it. And he did. You know, and it was so awesome. I remember when God called me, gave me the assignment for Kings Hill House of Prayer. It was at the Pure River event. And Krista was our worship leader. We had 2 hours. I got to be a prayer general, thanks to Peggy. And that night, she said, I'm giving it to you. I want to do this. I have this idea to do a prayer house. I never saw it. I didn't know at the time it was a meth house. But when she said it, I said yes. And I remember my board member said, that's a big yes. But God, I think, had prepared me because I'd been praying all this time. So I said, yes, I'll do it. We'll do it by God's grace and his help. But anyway, that night I had an encounter with the Lord, and the big things that he showed me, which we're working in now, Pray Nashville, is that through day and night prayer from the high place, we had the opportunity to take back our city from the prince of the air. And the second part is if everyone did their part, like in the book of Nehemiah, we could build a wall of blessing and protection around greater Nashville through unified prayer. That's what they're talking about here. This is not just signing up for something. This could be, doesn't have to be, it's our decision. We'll do it. It could be something that turns the tide, turns the battle. That's what that prayer is all about. God showed me with General Patton when he commissioned the chaplain to write a prayer. It went out to all 250,000 troops with the command to pray. And it turned the tide, it turned the battle, and I believe turned the war. And we have to turn the battle here in Nashville. We all need to have an attitude. We're not going to let go until we see the blessing of God on our city. So anyway, I want to honor Krista. This woman is a forerunner. She prayed for years. We wouldn't have King's Hill House of Prayer if it wasn't for her prayers. And she's a marathon runner. She's getting ready to go literally and run the marathon in Marathon, Greece. Be praying for her. We champion her. And we're grateful she's still living in our house. So at King's Hill House of Prayer. She's awesome. But anyway, just a couple points, lessons to learn for kingdom business, okay, that I feel like God's taught me. Can't outgive God. So when God gave me the call to do this, I told my husband, I got to quit my job. This is like, not God's never given me an assignment with directions. I got to quit my job. He said, no, babe, you cannot quit your job. If we have to stand behind this financially, you have to keep working. He said, just walk it out and see. Just God may really bless you. So we were so excited. The years that I've done Kings Hill, we saw not only was I number one in Nashville, but I was number one in the country. I won sales their realtor of the year for the luxury builder I work for. But the really cool thing is I sold in volume more than anybody had ever sold in their 32-year history. All while we were doing the King's Hill. So that to me says you can't outgive God. And in terms of God answering our prayers that we, you know, God taught me to do this prayer watch. When I came here, I was, you know, long story short, I had to surrender everything to the Lord. And I was $6 million in debt, no way out but bankruptcy from our home building company. And by prayer, through a prayer watch, Sandy Powell said, do a prayer watch. I said, I never heard of it. She said, pray. There's biblical, there's three-hour biblical watches. Do it. Get people to pray for you. And I was so embarrassed because I had them pray, because I didn't believe in praying about finances at that time because I was Catholic and I was told that was wrong. But I was desperate. I didn't want that legacy. So I went and asked all these people I didn't know that I thought could pray to pray for me. But then God showed me a little something extra. Job 42. After Job prayed for his friends, he was restored. So I found out what they needed prayer on. And God totally wrecked my sleep schedule because I was praying every 3 hours for all the people that were praying for me. And we've seen amazing miracles. And then I ended up doing prayer watches. Just one little story. this lady that I met, I didn't barely knew her, but I was afraid she was going to kill herself. She was couldn't hardly pay her bills, her light bill, anything. Her daughter was in bad shape, all this stuff. By the end of the prayer watch, God totally turned everything around. And guess what? She's been our biggest donor to King's Hill House of Prayer. This is so, but anyway, that's just one little thing. And I've gotten to share my testimony on the 700 Club. Bill Johnson shared my testimony. I never had to file bankruptcy. God was good to us. And I got to share my through a reenactment on Sid Roth, one of my mentors, the power of the blessing. So that's just a little bit. And then what I'm doing now that I'm so excited about.
So good. So good. I'm going to call you Barbara Ann Boldness Jetter. This woman is bold, and nothing's going to stop her. Thank you so much. Amen. Diane, amen. It's so good to have Diane with us. You know, to take a Kroger and totally have the vision to revamp it in the way that you have with your husband, and then have it a place where people get saved, delivered, and filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I'm telling you, that's pretty amazing. How long have you been in Nashville? Most of your life, or did you move here?
So my husband's family and my family was called by the Lord to move to Nashville,
called.
Of all places,
I've heard that
in
before.
1985. So yeah, the Lord, looking back now, we know it was the Lord that moved us here strategically. And the place where Plaza is, that was where we grew up. It was both of our neighborhoods. And it's been amazing to see. I was just talking to Rob Still, you know, talking to all of our old Belmont people and Carl and Leanne. It's amazing how the true sound of freedom is our worship, our intercession, when we can bring together intercession and worship in the same place and be incense continuously going up before the Lord. That is what changes, right? That changes the atmosphere. And what we do at Plaza, of course, it's a business. It's Market City ministry. You know, we have to make money. We have to keep the place going. But it's funny because I've always, you know, told people, especially in the beginning, because nobody knew what it was. And to be honest, we didn't know what God was going to do with it. But it was just one yes after another yes after another yes, and just completely trusting Him to do it, to build it. And, you know, the movie, if you build it, they will come. No, if you say yes, the Lord will build it, and the Lord will send, and the Lord will call. So, you know, even in because of adversity, that's when the Lord, I think, moves the most. And that's when the fire can fall, because continuously being, you know, on your face and before the altar of the Lord, just like, God, what do you want now? What's next? Not our way, not our plans, but what do you want next? It's interesting how all of our lives are intersecting again. And everyone that I don't think I know anyone who was born and raised here. All of us have been called. Well, okay, two, three, four. Okay, how many of you guys were born and raised here? Out of a room this big. Where are we from? God has called us. You know, God put the call out. And even in the past, I don't know, month or two, I've run into people that are like, oh, yeah, 2 weeks ago, God said, go to Nashville. And I was in Arizona. And I was like, what for? For this. For this, right? So our journey has always been business, small business, family-owned businesses. My mother was an entrepreneur. His parents were entrepreneurs. And so all we ever knew was you own your business, you do what God calls you to do. In my case, my mother was a dentist, and dentistry was what she was schooled in. But what we walked in was ministry. It was always ministry first. Dealing, healing the body, the teeth, later. So growing up in an environment where you would pray over patients and minister to them and sing and, you know, pray in the spirit over them while they're there, women that were infertile ended up having twins and babies. Wow. And, you know, just seeing things like that, miracles one after the other because someone says yes, you know. Fast forward walking into marketplace, looking at businesses that, you know, we just said yes to God and he opened the doors. Now the fun part is the undercover. The fun part is, like last night, we do worship, we do services on Tuesday nights. And what's interesting is we're in the food hall, so people think they're walking in to come and hear a band, or well, it's a worship band. But, you know, they're thinking they're coming in for entertainment, and if they walk in on a Tuesday night, they're going to get worship, they're going to get some kind of message or a testimony, there's ministry time, and the amazing thing about the ministry that the Lord has called us into is uniting the body. So my worship team is made up of keyboard and bass players from different churches, you know, singers, you know, all of the people that are wanting the deeper, the more. How can we worship in marketplace and encounter unchurched people, people that will never walk through these doors? They'll walk in because there's a bar in the back. And guess what? When they're back there having a margarita, they're going to hear, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And all of a sudden, they start crying. And they start moving closer. And I watch them as we're leading worship. And they move closer and closer and closer. And then before they're just sitting there and they're crying, then they get to get ministered to. They would have never walked into a church. But guess what? We are the church. Where we go, that is church. We bring it. And if we're not bringing it, we got to check ourselves. So, yeah.
That was awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Don't you love it? I'd call that Jehovah Sneaky. Right? Jehovah Sneaky working. Well, you know, when you own your own business, you have a little bit more flexibility. You know, I'm praying for Michael DeGiarno, who actually, whether you liked him or not on radio, he was let go because he talked too much about Jesus. And so we do have that resistance even in, you know, Worship City. And yet, this wonderful couple had the vision and the hard work that it took over there near the, you know, if you've not been there, how many have not been there yet? Raise your hand because you need to go. And their Tuesday night meetings are great. It's over by the zoo, so you could go see, you know, a monkey and then go to the circus. Have dinner in the plaza and then go to the Tuesday night. I mean, seriously, why not? Nolensville Road area. So, oh, it's good to have you here, Diane. I walked in and she was on the worship team that one night I came. I go, oh, my goodness, Lord, you've got plans. And they focus on youth, and so, I mean, it's many things that God's doing there. As with this little lady, who God moved you all over the place, and then from Franklin, yes, the first business she opened up again, just like Diane has, to different groups that would come and do ministry meetings. She always has had that mind, but Diane has done this in her particular sphere of influence. Tell us about your journey too, Amy. Thank you.
So, 8 years ago today, I was unsaved and completely against anything that had to do with Jesus. I was absolutely offended by anything that had to do with Jesus. Don't talk to me about Jesus. I was being sued. My family, we owned a fitness studio in Franklin. And it was very new age. I was teaching all Hindu posturing and all the things, and had Buddhas all over my studio, little fat, happy, cute guys, just positioned everywhere, offending all the Christians, and totally fine with that. And then I got sued by Christians, and I was like, well, what does it say in the Bible about lawsuits? So God snuck me into his word, basically. And that began a season of unfolding. And I was invited to go to church. And I was like, I'm not doing that. And I was so desperate that I was like, well, okay, I'll go once. And the first time I went, the message was about the reliability of the Bible. And I was like, wow, I spent my entire college philosophy classes trying to disprove the reliability of the Bible. And it was a series, so I kept going back week after week after week. Long story short, I got radically saved on my birthday in 2015. And so that, I was like, drove to the studio the next day, put all the Buddhas in the car, took them to Goodwill. The guy's like pulling the little Buddhas out of my car and he's looking at me and I'm like, I'm making room for Jesus. And so it was just this whole thing. I was living a Rhema word and I didn't even know. Like all these things that were happening to me were happening and then they were being confirmed in his word and it was just incredible. So then obviously the business got transformed, right? And then the Lord started having me minister while I taught these fitness classes. And I have Amy Phillips, put your hand up there. That's Pastor Amy Phillips, who has just walked with me and encouraged me and walked me through so much freedom over the last many years. And Pam Hawkins, she is our art director at Relevé, has been an incredible gift to us. And so we just began to follow the Lord. You know, it was like, okay, get all the yoga out. Yes, Lord. Rewrite 6 fitness manuals. Yes, Lord. And then he started sending us, become a nonprofit. You're a for-profit studio, now become a nonprofit. Yes, Lord. And so it's just been this wild, incredible journey of obedience, you know, and it hasn't been easy. It's not easy, is it? But the coolest thing is that he's just shown up in all these amazing ways. And I had watched a movie probably about 7 years ago, and it was called Priceless. It was actually filmed here in Nashville, and it was about human trafficking. And my heart just got sparked. And then all of a sudden, the Lord just starts sending, through a fitness studio in Franklin, in Williamson County, women who were coming out of incredible traumas, including human trafficking. And we just started going. We started coming into East Nashville and ministering to different organizations all across the city, started driving to Shelbyville, started driving to McMinnville, Manchester, and just God just started landing on it. So we were using movement, not necessarily traditional fitness by this point, because a lot of the posturing that you would do in a fitness class, it's inappropriate. It could be triggering. So we literally, step by step by step, we're following Holy Spirit. People talk about being trauma-informed. He taught us how to be trauma-informed. And so, I mean, I did not go to school for psychology, and we've got women walking through our doors that we're seeing, y'all, people with multiple personalities. We're seeing people who have been through satanic ritual abuse. We're seeing women who are just generally going through a hard time. So the Lord basically transformed our business from a fitness studio. He took our lease from us. We had to lay down the Franklin thing. And I was like, where are we going to go? Like, God, you're doing stuff. Where are we going to go? And so I put this little video out in utter desperation, like, all right, this is my last ditch effort. Like, anybody want to help us? And this house opened their door. So Pastor Mark, Pastor Grant, they were like, the Lord is saying, make room. We came. I was like, what are we doing? We're moving to East Nashville, God. Like, I don't even know anybody in East Nashville. I haven't been outside of Franklin in 15 years, really. You know, I mean, that's the truth, right? And so we got this room upstairs. We'd love to show anybody that hasn't seen it. God has done an incredible, incredible thing. Every dollar was provided for. And then it was like, I even had somebody in our ministry say, what are we doing? I'm like, we're following the Lord. And so in the last 15 months, he has taken the fitness. I've laid down the fitness, which is, thank God I knew who I am in Christ, because I would be like, Jesus, like, I've been doing this for 15 years, so I'm not teaching fitness anymore, and I'm on staff at the church. And we keep our doors open for whosoever would walk through the doors. And it's incredible. I mean, he will equip you. He will equip you. And it's the best thing ever just to follow Holy Spirit and see him healing the least of these, using us, we get to see the greater works because of a yes and because of his spirit within us. So yeah, I still don't really necessarily know what we're doing other than following him and seeing so many women set free. I see freedom happen so often through worship. I love a good deliverance session, but let me tell you something. You worship the Lord with all you have and you set an atmosphere of worship, those things got to go. They got to go. And so, yeah.
Amy, so good. I can't take much more. I'm just really right now. I've got water coming out of my eyes. I don't know what's going on. I can tell you this. If you get on her Facebook page, you'll get a regular exhortation from this little lady. And it's arrested me more than once as I would look at it and go, oh my God, where you have brought Amy from and where you're taking her. And she has such powerful insights because the Holy Spirit is giving her downloads. And so upstairs, you can actually go and see what God has done. You know, come and see. Isn't there a passage in Scripture? Many passages inviting us to come and see. And right here underneath, you know, in a sense the way sometimes hidden, the city does not know the treasure we have sitting here. And these just represent others who are doing the same. I could have brought the lady who owns the hot dog stand. You know, the hot dog stand. But she said, well, they probably would like to have a taste afterwards. And so I can't do that. But there's so many businesses that these precious ladies are saying, I'm going to do kingdom work here. I want you to ask some questions. And I'll bring the mic to you. And I want you to ask about the journeys that they have shared with you. I don't know what it will be that you might want to ask, but let's focus on the business part, or maybe you're thinking about, or you want to encourage someone who's a woman in business in some way. You want to find out more about their story. Anybody want to start? Take your hand if you'll raise it. All right, come on up, my friend, and a young businessman himself who just started a coffee company. So you go ahead and address the ladies with your question. And when we do this, you can address a particular person, or we can let them share a couple of things amongst themselves. Go ahead.
All right. So for Diane, I actually have an event at Plaza Mariachi Saturday with Brazilian Gold Coffee. And I go to Plaza Mariachi a lot, which you guys need to go there. Great food, great music, get a little margarita, listen to worship like I do on Tuesday. But one thing I noticed, I grew up in Nashville too, and that's a dangerous part of town, and of course there's security. What were the biggest challenges starting out in that part of town with the finances, the crowd, and the crime?
So, funny story. When I usually give tours when groups come in, like colleges or just elementary schools, high schools, one of the things that when we first started out, people kept asking, why are you going there? Why aren't you going downtown? Why aren't you going to the safer parts of Nashville? But you cannot be authentic to the people group that God has placed on your heart. Why would we go with ministry in mind for the international community if we were not going to be in the international community? And a place where they would feel comfortable coming in. And interestingly enough, you know, when the Lord calls you to do something, he fixes everything else. All you got to do is say yes and take the steps that he tells you to. And he handles the rest. That's how good of a father we have. So what we noticed is when we got in there and we started building, little by little, we've been open 7 years now. But little by little, as we were constructing, and when people started seeing, oh, what's happening over there? You know, when are they going to open? What's it going to be? Because people didn't know for a long time. It was hard hat only. And people didn't really go into the building. From the outside, you couldn't see what was happening until the very end. So nobody really knew. And as soon as we opened and all of the other businesses around started seeing what we had done, you know, completely revamping the space. It is very Disney-esque. So, you know, that alone, we started seeing as people were listing homes, it would say, close to Plaza Mariachi. We were like, we're not even open. How do they know who we are? They, you know, they didn't know, but they had faith. Whoever they were had faith enough. And we were like, okay, God, are you really going to do this? And so what we did notice is that as we invested kingdom funding and kingdom energy into what was happening there on faith, because when God asks you to do something, it is lay it down on the altar. And it's not yours anymore because it's his. So it's pretty much this. What do you want? When do you want it? How do you want it? That type of mentality going into it. And so little by little now, the gentrification has come in so much. The houses that used to be worth like $87,000 are now like $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 behind us. So when you say yes to God, the overflow affects and he takes care of it. So now there's more value there.
That's so good, Diane. It's true. We do influence our environment. We bring in light and darkness doesn't want to stay. That's such a good answer. Helps us to see. Let's see past where we are right now. Let's believe God for the bigger vision that he's always had for you. And he's not going to stop until he gets your attention. Other questions, real quickly. You have one back there in the sound booth. And then Phil, come on up real quick. And Phil, you can come and stand behind her if you want. But we'll go ahead and let her ask the question, and then Phil has another one. Please. Thank you, by the way, for the wonderful job you do.
Kylie. All right, so I'm very passionate about the next generation. So I just want to know how you guys are discipling and teaching these upcoming generations.
I can answer that. So I co-founded a ministry called Eternal Heirs, and we've been going about 10 years, but we go into the detention centers, and our mission is to go into some of the darkest places and shine the light of the gospel that transforms orphans into heirs. But we get them saved, then we disciple them over 50 days. We use our 50 Days of Transformation discipleship program, and then they get baptized. And we're believing that those disciples will go out and make disciples because God called us to do more than just make converts. He called us to make disciples. And I think Amy can answer that. She's doing an amazing job of discipling, like going deep.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we have a discipleship program with Releve. And so we take women on a journey anywhere, teens, women, whoever would sign up, anywhere from, it's about a 3-month journey. The other part that we are really passionate about is seeing the women, you know, the movie Sound of Freedom is kind of a hot topic right now, which I'm thankful for because it actually shines a light and so many people want to see the film. What I hope happens as a result of that is you start to see what happens after. We are the after. We are part of the aftercare. We are in the season of long suffering with the people that we serve, not just those that are coming out of human trafficking, but a lot of times people come and it's like, we don't know what to do with this woman. We don't know what to do with this girl. And we just, you know, we don't pull from, you know, different documents and manuals. We just ask Holy Spirit and we use his word. And so I'm all for organized deliverance, like I said before, but it truly, truly is, there's nothing more amazing than having a cup of coffee with a woman who has been the trauma, you guys, and just watching hope and watching Jesus show up. It's the most incredible way to disciple. It's just letting him be the discipler, you know? And so, yeah, that's how we roll.
That's so good. Diana, why don't you respond?
So for, you know, for Barbara Ann, that's amazing. And I still need to come with you guys to the prison.
Yes.
And I got to connect with you. Yeah. So this is amazing. Yeah, because we also started a nonprofit. So we have a nonprofit to the immigrant and Hispanic and really anybody. But we deal a lot with victims of sexual abuse and violence, among everything else, because that's kingdom. So when the Lord asks us to walk into kingdom, it's body, soul, mind, spirit, everything. And because we're the body, we have all the pieces. And together, we have all the pieces to help everybody put the pieces back together. But what that looks like for all the rest of us is Bible study. Invite the few people. You know, sometimes because I'm executive director of our nonprofit. And so when people walk into the Hispanic Family Foundation, a woman may be running from an abuser or maybe coming in because the child has some kind of disability, and they walk in, and when they're crying, sometimes I get the opportunity to say, hey, do you want me to pray for you? Are you okay? Can I pray for you? Take them in a room. Pray. Here's what God says about you. They get saved. Like, okay, where do you live? Let me find a church that we work with that we can plug you in. Hey, pastor, I'm sending you so-and-so. Can you have some, you know, that type of thing. And then invite them to the Bible study. It only has to be one person, three people, five people. It grows. We now have a Monday night Bible study for all of our employees and tenants that meets on Monday afternoon when everybody clocks out, and they're growing. They're discipling each other. So it starts with one, and it'll grow however the Lord wants it to.
Diane, that's so good. You know, it's Jehovah sneaky again, doing things behind the scenes. And I thought it was just a place to get a nice bite of food. But I'm saying that God wants to expand, just like when Apostle Glenda came to town and started Family Affair, very much the same kind of thing they're doing now. Your mantle supernaturally has been passed on to Diane and what she is doing along with Amy. So this is awesome. I'm so glad you're... I know why God had us do this today. I can see it now.
So appreciate your personal stories. They just so resonate. I know for each of you there has been failure or loss of a vision. You referred to laying something down and dying to it. What did you do during those times? All of you are initiators. So what did you do during those times where it looked like it's just not going to work? God, you've removed me for this forever. How did you stay emotionally able to persevere?
Well, to be honest, I cried a lot. And
yeah.
My husband actually said, babe, get your crying done while I'm gone at work, and I don't want to hear it when I get home. But what God taught me through that is if I would just worship until the heaviness of God's glory replaced the heaviness of my depression, then I couldn't be depressed. I couldn't be worried. And God filled me with faith and boldness, and that is the key, really. It's surrendering and crying it out. I mean, I've seen more answers to prayer when I don't say a word and I just get on my face and cry out to God.
I thank you.
Amen.
That is true. And it's funny, the thought came to me, all those tears God turned into this beautiful pearl necklace that you get to wear, right? But yeah, I think that's the key, being able to worship through it. You know, not everybody has to have a great voice or can play an instrument. I wish I could play instruments. But the thing is to really, when you can worship through that, and when you see that Goliath or that failure, I used to have a screensaver that said, I never fail, I only learn. So when we can go into that mentality of, okay, God, well, that must not have been right. What was your way? Or if it was his way, then it's like just having that trust. Like, Lord, if this is what you've brought me to, I don't believe that the sea will not part if you brought me to the sea. I don't believe you led me into the desert to not give me a well. You know, to have that Abraham faith, and then when you don't see it, Lord, thank you that you've made a way. Lord, thank you. When we worship and we pray, we call for things that are not, or you call them out because they're not yet. God will make the way. We just sometimes have a faulty expectation. So when we throw expectation out the door, then he's free to do what he wants to, and we can't be disappointed.
I tell you what, you guys are the real deal. And I'm so glad that you're convicting us all to dig a little deeper and to dream a little more and be more obedient. You have a question, if you do. And then we'll have Carl next. Here we go.
I just wanted to say, I'm from Murfreesboro, and we have a closed-down Kroger right across the street from us. So if you're seeing, you know, multiplication in your future, I would just like to welcome you there, because we're just a few blocks from the campus where that Kroger is, MTSU, and it's a very Hispanic community. So Come on to Murfreesboro if you want to multiply. Not a question, but it's an invitation.
Very good. Come on, brother.
You girls are charging my battery, and Leon and I are just sitting here like, yes, yes. And I just feel the encouragement of that. So as your friends, as comrades in the ministry, we're seeing that God is changing the way we do church, which is, I think, if we're listening, he's saying that. And So in light of that, what do you feel you need? Are there needs you need from your friends, your comrades? What is WCA able to do to engage with these different ministries? And many of us are already supporting in some way. So are there specific needs, Barbara? Yeah.
I need for every pastor to do what Pastor
Here you go. You say it once again.
Every pastor could do what Pastor Mark is doing. Like, he really is about kingdom, and he's engaging in other kingdom-minded ministries so that they really do have outreach, not just inreach. For example, he's done this with Amy Weber. He's doing that through Kings Hill. Like, he was the first pastor to step up and say, I will champion this. He sees the value of Nashville having a day and night house of prayer. Prayer changes things. The thing that he's doing, so what you could specifically do, Carl is actually doing, he signed up to be a gatekeeper, but he's coming up once a month for 3 hours, and he's bringing his team, and they're praying over the city at Kings Hill. If you're a pastor, would you please be a gatekeeper? Would you please do that? That would be amazing.
And not only that, you don't actually always have to come up. There's a wonderful Zoom kind of a setup where you can call in on your computer and take time and pray. And that time goes fast.
It does.
Oh, my goodness. You go, I can't believe I've already been here 3 hours. But you can do it on a regular basis through the Zoom setup or come up. At least you should come up. How many have not been to Kings Hill yet? Well, not too many. That's pretty good. Well, then you have a new assignment, right?
Yeah, and that really is a thing, is the unity, the call to unity. And come out. Get out of the church. I'm sorry. I mean, every time I run into somebody, I'm like, get out of the locker room, guys. We're in the last part of the game, and we want to huddle. And unfortunately, we're still in the mentality that the four walls, that the locker room is the field, and it's not. It's not. There are few that are getting hit, and they're feeling, where are the linebackers? Where's the quarterback? You know, where's everybody? Yeah, we're, you know, the special ops team. I'm not going to say we're getting beat up, because we're not, but we need a team. And a team is not three or four people scattered around the city. So I think if everybody here can reach out to their fellow pastors, reach out to other people all over the city and be like, all right, let's get out of the locker room. And if you don't know how to do it, that's okay. Stick with me and we'll go to the prisons. We'll go and we'll reach out to those that are being rescued. You know, reach out to the internationals. Whatever passion God has placed in your heart, whether it's missions or whatever it is, step out. You know, be willing to step out, because we're not going to win games in the locker room.
No, no. It's not a game. This is war. By the way, at the very end, we're going to extend our hands to bless. I see in my mind, in my spirit, there's fire that's going to come on you girls. I mean, you ladies, fire, because they need fresh anointing, fresh fire, fresh glory upon them to do what God's assigned them to. One more question. If you have the boldness, come on up. Two more questions, and that'll be it. And then we're going to pray and bless them. Come on up, Chris, and stand behind her. And that way we can be sure that we have time for prayer and ministry. Might have a word or two. Go ahead, please.
I have so many questions, but I will try to pick one that I think bring us along. Outside of the Bible and Holy Spirit, what is a resource or a book or something that's been super influential in getting you started? Because I think we're seeing a lot of us who have been in ministry for decades or years are now being called to do marketplace and ministry. And so can you help us make the leap?
Good question. Who wants to take that? Barbara Ann?
I would say mentors. Find a mentor. And if you can't find one locally, go on Sid Roth. It's Supernatural. A lot of those people became my mentors. I've reached out to them, and I love that show.
Yeah. Anyone else? Books?
I mean, for me, what really radically changed something, and I don't know if you guys want to go, that's what I gift to everybody, is the Tree of Life Version Bible. So I'm telling you, this one changes everything. It was written in the Hebraic roots of the gospel. So rabbis actually got together and they put that thing in such a way that you're seeing the literal translation from the Hebrew into the English. It keeps the original names. That ignited something in me, especially more, I don't know, that fire. I think there's just that fire on the altar and a deeper understanding and revelation. That's the
good
thing.
Amy, do you have something?
Just mentorship.
Yeah.
Mentorship has been everything. And, you know, God has put so many around me because I had zero clue what I was doing. And every time I would turn around, there was, I mean, in this room are many of you, and just people that have believed in me when I didn't even believe in myself. And so just having good mentorship is everything.
That's so good. One last question.
Can I do a book?
Oh, please.
Oh,
come on. I cut my teeth on that. That's right. And as I was a young pastor, that was the one that impacted me the most. Reese Howe's Intercessor. You can get it online.
Well, like this lady, I could ask a million questions right now. But first to you and Mark, God knows I'm one of his slow kids. So he brings me things and bits, and I kept having a vision, and it was just the word kingdom. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I get that. That's what we're here for, kingdom, right? But then he gave me this word, and it was community, but the C-O-M-M was in lime green. The unity was in lime yellow. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to do kingdom, community, unity. And so we have just recently been blessed with a building for our church. We've been nomadic for about 4.5 years. And we got blessed in a community that was kind of like my Nineveh. Oh, I didn't want to go there. And so, yes, I would love to help you guys with our church and be a gatekeeper.
Yes.
So, for the three of you. Recently, I felt God was going, he was wrecking my mess, if you know what I'm saying, because he asked me to give up everything I'd ever known in life and totally trust him. I am an A personality. I am task oriented, and I see that on all three of you. My question is, how did you pump the brake and wait for his time?
If you don't pump the brake, he will. He will make you lie down in green pastures beside quiet waters to restore your soul. And I like what you guys said. If you just, Dr. Charles Stanley said, trust God and leave all the consequences to him. Don't try to figure it out. Just do it, and don't doubt in the dark what God's shown you in the light, because usually his ways are a little crazy, and we have to be willing to surrender.
That's good.
And when he says, there will come a moment in all of our lives,
And you'll know exactly when it is. You'll know the night or the day. You'll know the time. You'll know that moment when you're on your face and your heart is broken and all your dreams are crushed and you feel like everything fell apart and you're crying and snotting the ugly cry, when he'll whisper, "Do you trust me?" Right? So for me, it took 3 times of him saying, "Do you trust me?" "Yes, Lord, of course I trust you." "Do you trust me?" "Of course I trust you." He's like, "No, listen, will you trust me?" And at that point, it's the, "Okay, I'll trust you. Whatever it is, whatever you want, however you want, not my will." That breaking, that's the moment that the olive is crushed and the oil can flow. So when we reach that moment in time, it'll be a date that you will never forget. And you will always remember. But from that point on, it's so slippery and so nice because you're just skating on his anointing. And then it's easier every time. The more times you say yes, okay, and you pull back, it becomes easier and easier in the spirit to follow and listen. We just have to physically nail ourselves to the cross every day.
That's good. So good. When the time is right. Thank you so much. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, just spend time in the secret place. You know, I don't have the exact quote, but that I had seen somebody wrote, worship means nothing. It the weightiness of worship, if you can't do it in the secret place, you know? So that's me getting it completely wrong. But basically, that is where you're going to know your Father, you know. I think we've all had stuff stripped away from us in this room, right? And I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the secret place with my Jesus.
Well, I want to thank all 3 of you. Yeah. I haven't been here in quite a while.
I've been busy building a church, and it takes a lot out of you. And for 3 weeks, I kept hearing the Lord say, "Go to WCA. Go to WCA." And I kept asking, "Why? Why?" You know, I mean, you got me busy over here. Why? And I know now it was for the hope and encouragement from y'all's testimony.
Thank you. So good. Let's give them a hand. I'm telling you what, God is at work in our city. And I hope some of you will listen to this on our Facebook site or on our website, Worship City Alliance, because I want to hear this again. And we always will post everything that has happened here on the meeting. You can send it to someone that couldn't come today. So go to either Facebook or go to the website, worshipcityalliance.com. And I want to ask Phil and Mark and, of course, where am I here? I feel in another place. Of course, Karen is here, and I want her to come up.
Yes.
Peggy, you should come, and Marion, Susan, we'll represent you. Linda, yeah, and come up, and let's extend our hands, folks, to these entrepreneurs, leaders, influencers, networkers, obedient women of God for kingdom purposes. And we want to pray over them. And Carl and Leanne, you're welcome. Anybody, Phil, I mean, you all could come, but we'll represent you and we're going to just pray over them. If you have a word, take the mic. And Pastor Glenda and her associate. So, Father, we thank you right now for the honor we've had to be a part of this today. To hear, Chris can come too. Thank you, God, that these women are forerunners. And I see many young women and men who will follow their influence in the different places that they may have conversation. We lay hands on them. We extend blessing to them. Krista can come. Anyone that wants to. I just want to bless you and thank God for the example you've been for us all. I see that is that you've been an example for the kingdom purposes in Nashville. And I don't see anything I can feel awkward about it. I feel it's just so clean and so pure. Where God has brought you from, to wait upon Him, to learn His ways, to take advantage of open doors and opportunities, to network with people who've come now alongside you. We bless in Jesus' name. We bless in Jesus' name what You're doing here, O God, in our city, in our region. And we want to bless them and speak words of encouragement over them now in Jesus' name. Go ahead.
Okay, so we all have a lot to say, and I'm going to cut this short. Just looking at all three of you, we honor You. You know, we've been ministers here for a long time. Being a woman in ministry, plowing, and understand Your story, sometimes the pain. But I'm going to speak one word over all three of you, and it's a Hebrew word, avodah, A-V-O-D-A-H. In Hebrew, it means work and worship. It's the same word. Wow. So the Lord just saying, you know, your life, you're not. Yeah, your marketplace, but you are, it's worship. So everything that you're doing is worship, but it's work. And it's the same thing from the eyes of God. And just so you know where that word comes from, and then I know that a lot of people want to pray. Boaz and Ruth had a son named Obed. That means work and worship. So that is, you're just in that. That is that real, also, you know, the tribe of Judah, you know, David came from there. So I just speak that word over you. Take this word with you, that everything you're doing is worship while you're working. And that's, I want to be respectful of everybody else's time, but yeah.
Anyone that wants to speak, just hold your hand up.
Oh, I didn't hold my hand.
No, hold your
hand up. Anybody glory, wants to glory, go to glory. Lunch with me, hold your hand up.
Okay, I have one word, and the word is fire. And this morning, the Lord, I changed clothes 3 times this morning. And when the Holy Spirit told me what to put on, and when I was getting ready to walk, he said, "You have on the colors of fire," and he said, "You're going into fire." And I've been for the seventh month, I committed the 7 months of the Lord. So the month of July, I hid and warred, and all the person who kept calling me out of hiding, so I ran. But praise God, the one thing that I do know, I do hear the Lord say. Is, you know, it's time for fire in the city. It's time for fire in the city. For years, the Lord had me get up at 5:00 in the morning and walk East Nashville. I walked and I prayed. On 777 Jerry Bryant, we were at 1600 Riverside Drive praying 7 hours for the call. We had a group of people dressed in white who were praying for what was happening at the stadium. The Lord didn't let us be there. He had us cover what was happening there.
Amen.
And, so I honor you, sister, honor each of you. Praise God. You may not, you don't know me, but the Lord knows me. So I declare right now in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the fire of God burns in you, the fire of God burns through you, and the fire of God will burn anything after you in Jesus' name. The fire, the fire, the fire. He said it's going to be fire this time, so it's time for the fire. He's losing. And you heard that because you know that, don't you? And he said it's fire time. So I call you firecracker queens. Fire. Praise God.
As a fire intercessor, when God shifts you, you know it's Him. And He asked me to pray over your feet. Because everywhere your feet tread, you're going to take the land. Okay? Everywhere your feet tread, it belongs to you according to the promises of God. So if you would just put your feet out. And so, Father, I just humbly bow down. And I honor the feet of this mighty woman of God, who, Lord, has submitted her life to you and has given herself to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, because, Lord, it is her reasonable service. And so I ask Jesus that every place her feet goes, in the natural as well as in the spirit, God, that, Lord, you will give her the land, you will give her the territory, and God, you will open up doors that no man can shut, and God, that you will shut the doors that no man can open. I bless her, I honor her, and I thank you, God, for her and the kingdom entrepreneur and the kingdom leader that you have called her to be in such a time as this, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray over these feet, even though I haven't walked yet with these feet, I know, God, the sacrifice that she has made to go into a territory and go into a land. I lived off Nolensville Road. I know, God, the nations that are over there. And Lord, that your word says, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth as your possession. So today, woman of God, the Lord is giving you the ends of the earth, the nations as your inheritance in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless you, we honor you, and we thank you, Diane, for what you represent as a kingdom woman of God in the land that God has called you to. And I come into agreement with what Susan was saying. I see that God is wanting to expand your territory. Woman, you've been faithful over a little, and the Lord says, I'm making you ruler over much. And so in the name of Jesus, start asking the Lord, where are you calling me next? Because your next is right around the corner in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Excuse me, honey. Yes, can I get over here to her feet?
Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Mm. More. More God.
And probably, Lord, out of all these women here, I have had the honor and the privilege to dance with these feet. And to walk with these feet and to pour into this amazing woman of God who, Lord, puts herself in a place of being unseen. But Lord, you see her. And Amy, I just see that the Lord has heard the cry of your heart and that he is actually already has angels sent to help you and to shield you and to guard you and to bring people alongside you and to pour into you. And I just see the kingdom resources coming your way. The kingdom finances coming your way because you have been faithful in the hidden place. You've been faithful in the places where the Lord has called you to go. And so now he is going to take your feet. He's going to take your dance. And just as the deer goes up in the hind feet of the deer go into the high places, the places that are rugged, the places that would be hard to climb without to having the feet that Jesus has given them, he is giving you the feet to walk and to tread into the areas that many will not go. But he has already equipped you. He is your equipper. And that he is going to bring the finances and he's going to bring the resource that you need in this next season, not to have to be concerned, not to have to worry. You have humbled yourself, and Lord, I'll do whatever it takes. And the Lord says, I've heard you. I've heard you. And now is the time and the season that I'm calling you forth, and I'm calling you up, and I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. Don't think you're going to stay behind these walls. These walls are just a place for a season, but I'm calling you out because what you carry and what you need is needed and necessary for the kingdom. And I'm going to use you to train up others as well to do the same. And so I bless these feet, Lord. And I thank you, God, for where you're going to take her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes.
So I saw something completely different. I did hear the word fire as well this morning. And as we were praying, as you were releasing that over them this morning, I saw it differently. I saw you as pillars of fire. And the Lord said, look at what happened as Moses led the Israelites through the sea. And he said, how did I provide for them? How did I lead them? Cloud by day, pillar by night. And you, the Lord has established you as pillars of fire to lead the people who are in darkness. So I just bless what God is doing over you and the pillars that he has established you to be in this day, in the communities, in the place that he's leading you to as pillars of fire to lead people in times of darkness.
Yeah. Say something? Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what, we've had a pretty good download here. I'm telling you, unless we've missed something. But I just feel like, let's just in agreement that everything that's been said in the spirit realm be magnified and multiplied. And those that didn't actually get to speak on the mic, they can do so afterwards. Take them aside and give them that special encouragement. I just thank you, Lord, that you have given me great hope again today through the lives of these precious sisters. We're family, and we're working together for the same cause. Kingdom come, will be done on earth. God bless you all. Thank you for coming today.
Don't forget to see me and sign up.
Sign up. That's right. Go upstairs and see the studio if you'd like to, the worship hall. And make sure you say hi to them and tell them how much you appreciate them.